The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
And where it puts Trump and his legal team now is they're kind of scrambling to figure out what they are going to do before Monday, because when it comes to, you know, he could wait and count on this appeal, wait to see if they're going to lower what he has to pay for the bond to maybe $100 million. But they're also looking at wealthy supporters, seeing if they could help him here. They're looking at his properties, what they could potentially sell and quickly.
Jessica, I want to put this graphic up on the screen that shows some of Trump's New York properties that I guess could be relevant to all of this.
Yeah, I mean, the puzzle here is why is it so hard for him to come up the money to secure the bond between his claims about how much cash he has and the value he's asserted with respect to these properties. Why is he having such a difficult time getting anybody to write the bond for him?
You know, in terms of what's going on at Trump, I want him to be people to go after him legally for the big stuff.
Right.
I want the insurrection issues, the January 6th. If you're going to go after him for the stuff that really threatens America.
And this is one of the trend lines that I think really tells the story that's the difference between this election and the 2020 election. So if you ask voters, who do you think would do a better job handling border security and immigration, what do we see? We see that back in 2020, it was basically a dead even split, right? Joe Biden was slightly favored on it, but not overwhelmingly. And of course, he slightly won the election, not overwhelmingly so. Look at where we are today in a Marquette University Law School poll that was put out last month. Look at that advantage that Donald Trump has on immigration and border security. It's near 30 points. This is a tremendous change that's going on. Yeah, so, you know, you might think, you know, that Hispanic voters might be the types of folks who would have a backlash against Donald Trump's remarks, right? Ain't the case. If you ask Hispanic voters, who do they trust more on border security and immigration? Overwhelmingly, they trust Donald Trump more by a tremendous margin. Look at that, 49% to 24%. And that is in line with what we're seeing in the polls in general amongst Hispanics.
And this is the story. President Biden telling Latino voters, I need your help desperately. He is trailing former President Trump by 6 among Latinos. These kinds of numbers are unheard of in Republican versus Democrat politics.
The Trump train just keeps moving forward. Nothing can slow it down. Nothing can stop it. My new favorite fresh hot take is that Trump he's actually pretty poor. He doesn't have any money. There's no cash flow in the Trump empire. We'll get to some of those clips as we proceed. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. It's been a pretty busy couple of days for yours truly, for the producer as well. So, but we still have some content that we can work our way through. It's great that we have such a diligent team pulling clips and stories and research together. You can get to the live video stream of this show at trumpetdaily.com and also at the Rumble channel, rumble.com/trumpetdaily. Lots and lots to get to on today's show. I guess it was some kind of a comedy dinner yesterday. Joe Biden, the fake president, he made a joke, and of course everyone in the regime, they laughed out loud, because here again we're joking about the fact that Trump is finished. Donald Trump is finished. He says, this is, again, not on audio, but according to those who were there, the fake president said, our big plan to cancel student debt doesn't apply to everyone. Just yesterday, a defeated-looking man came up to me and said, I'm being crushed by debt. I'm completely wiped out. And I said, sorry, Donald, I can't help you. Oh, and everyone had a good laugh because Trump is finished. He's a defeated man. He's out of money. He's being buried in debt. Listen to this from MSNBC, clip 6.
But we begin tonight with the desperation of a man facing a ticking clock.
With each tick and each talk, two thoughts weigh on this man's mind: staying out of prison and not becoming destitute and losing all of his properties. Donald Trump has 5 days left to come up with the $454 million bond for his New York civil fraud judgment, or New York Attorney General Letitia James can start seizing the very properties that Trump has used to portray himself as a wealthy and successful businessman, the crux of what elevated him to the White House.
You can pretty much summarize all of their so-called reporting by saying it's either get Trump or it's the wishful thinking that Trump is finished. In this case, $454 million. How's he going to come up with it? You can sense the air of desperation in the Trump camp. I mean, they are scrambling, as you heard in the cold open. They don't know what to do. They're nearly fit. Anderson Cooper's showing properties. He's showing graphics of Trump properties worth $150 million, $300 million, $200 million. This is their analysis. These are the properties that Tish James can seize, can grab hold of, can take over and control. They're so excited. Yet again, we hear that Donald Trump, surely this time around, he must be finished. Listen to clip 3 from CNN.
But Donald Trump is expecting special treatment, special favors, because he believes that he is above the law. But in this case, he's going to have to pay, or he just will have his property seized. And that is his worst nightmare, Abby.
Yeah, and it's also something that will follow him. I mean, he's going into this election. A lot of his supporters, maybe other people too, believe this myth, essentially, that he's fantastically wealthy, that he's an outsider. Does this puncture that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, from the first day of The Apprentice, the story that was told to the audience was that Donald Trump was so extraordinarily wealthy. The truth of the matter is that now the curtain is going to be pulled back, and his supporters are going to see that what Donald Trump says about his wealth and about the money that he has, he simply does not have it.
Yeah, he doesn't have the money. He's actually quite poor. He's destitute. Is this going to destroy the myth that he's fantastically wealthy? That's what the CNN anchor asks. And then the special guest says, oh, absolutely it punctures that myth. Absolutely. He's going to be exposed. Ever since he was on The Apprentice, he gave this impression that he was fabulously wealthy. And now we know differently. He can't even come up with $500 million. What? No wonder he can't come up with it. Even the bond companies that would put this up as an investment, I don't think any of them would be carrying $500 million. So here they are. As I say, it's your latest fresh hot take. Enjoy it. It's so fun, isn't it? How many laugh out loud moments do I have on the average morning? Maybe more so today than, yeah, and I didn't even have much time. I had a class this morning, but then I come to these clips and I'm like, are you serious? So, okay, seize two of his properties. You got your $500 million right there. Hopefully, CNN didn't overinflate the value of those properties that it posted on a graphic for all to see. I mean, they could be indicted for this. Oh, it's so funny. It's so funny. Listen to, this is another from CNN, clip 4.
Donald Trump is also very strategic about what he does. He knew over the weekend, probably as far back as last week, that he could not get a surety company to extend his bond. And so what does he do? He creates a distraction by using, you know, insightful words, bloodbath, calling immigrants animals. He knew what he was going to do, and he knew that it would drive the news cycle.
It's just perfect, isn't it? He knew he was broke and that it was about to be revealed, so he throws bloodbath out there so that they would be, these people right here, that they would be distracted. Okay, got it. Right. He's planning it up. Well, in one sense, they're right. He does play them like a fiddle. He knows what will set them off. But sure, how is this? How does any of this pass for sharp analysis, whether it's on MSNBC or CNN? Seriously? So he throws bloodbath out there because he knows he's broke and destitute. He's homeless, basically. He's a homeless man at this point. You listen to this coverage. Most people don't. I guess that's another point to make here. They don't. They tune it out. But I just love how serious the regime takes themselves. I mean, they are serious. This time, he's finished. It's all over for the bad orange man. The New York Post has a piece. Donald Trump may not pay bond and instead let Letitia James seize Trump Tower. I mean, this is being bandied about. Who would have a half billion on hand? I'm not even sure Elon Musk would have a half billion on hand. Not tied up in investments or properties or whatever, products. As Donald Trump faces a Monday deadline to post a $454 million bond. I mean, just try to wrap your mind around that figure for a moment. A half billion dollars. Letitia James, a no-name attorney who wouldn't even be known at all were it not for the fact that she campaigned on the Get Trump agenda. She's fining him a half billion. For what? What did he do? Who are the victims? There are no victims. That's what's crazy about this. And for that matter, for Trump to just say, hey, go ahead and seize the assets. You think that's going to help? You go back to the cold open. You think that's going to help or hurt Donald Trump? You think this would backfire for Letitia James to come in there and to take over Trump Tower, this iconic structure in Manhattan? How do you think that's going to set with the American people? This is from the Washington Examiner. It says here, by nearly 2-1, voters believe President Joe Biden is using the Justice Department to hobble former President Donald Trump and jail him so that he can't win the fall election. Nearly 2-1. Everybody knows. They know. They see Peter Navarro going off to prison in Miami yesterday. And then at the very same day, you've got Hunter Biden just snubbing his nose at the House committee as they sit down and chat with Bobulinski, who, by the way, that was some, I don't have the sound bites, but speaking of humorous sound bites, how refreshing it was for him to sit down and to say, you know what, Jamie Raskin, you're a liar. Dan Goldman, you're a liar. You'll go and lie to the cameras later today after this testimony's over, and then the regime media, they'll carry the water for you. It's nice at least to see them called out for their lies. I mean, you know, Steve Bannon's right. One thing you have to give it up for, or give the Democrats credit for, is they go for the jugular. Every day, it's about winning. Does anyone really think that here they've got all this explosive testimony. Bobulinski saying, yeah, they're guilty of crimes, the Biden crime family. Of course, you got a RICO case all over the place. And then AOC's there to say, RICO isn't a crime. Well, tell that to the other prosecutor in Georgia, you know, Fannie Willis. Got to get Trump on RICO, but you can't get the Biden crime family on that. Of course not. Just to switch back to this New York Post piece, says while some reports have raised speculation that Trump may go nuclear with a Chapter 11 filing to protect his prized real estate assets across Manhattan, experts said bankruptcy would create unwelcome complications as the 2024 election season comes to a head. I mean, this is the New York Post. It's fairly favorable coverage. But Donald Trump declaring bankruptcy? I don't think so. I don't think that's going to happen. Now, is he going to post the bond? He may not do that either. And then see what happens. If Tish James goes in there and takes over his property, like we're living in some third world dictatorship, some banana republic, well, go ahead and see how that works out for you. It says a third possibility, however, is to let the deadline pass, leaving it to the New York Attorney General, Letitia James, to seize Trump's bank accounts or buildings, including Trump Tower, from which he declared his 2016 presidential run. Now, you can be sure if they're going to go after any property, it's going to be the one with the escalator where Donald Trump came down in 2015 and said, yeah, I am running. And by the way, they're not sending their best. These nations that are just, they're unlocking their prisons and their asylums and so on. They're sending criminals to the United States. I mean, that's a message that still resonates today. Here we are, 9 years later. Everyone knows. 2-1, voters believe that Joe Biden has weaponized the Department of Justice to go after Trump. And of course, by Joe Biden, we really mean the dear leader, Barack Hussein Obama. Yeah, he's traveling the world. He's on these international trips, visiting with prime ministers. And then the fake president, he's there. And like Donald Trump points out, all the time, he can hardly pull put two sentences together. It says here in the latest McLaughlin and Associates survey shared with Secrets on Wednesday, 56% said they believe that Joe Biden wants to stop President Trump from winning the election by putting him in jail. 56%, only 30% disagreed. Now, I don't think they're trying to put him in jail so he can win the election. 56%, so nearly, as it says, nearly 2-1. People know. Everyone knows. Everyone, like I've been pointing out this week, everyone knows that America is under attack. They know it now. They didn't know it 5, 6, 7 years ago. They didn't know it when Donald Trump came down the escalator. But they know it now. They certainly do today. They definitely do know it. America's in the midst of a communist insurrection, a coup, a communist infiltration, as Mr. Armstrong, Herbert Armstrong said, decades ago, more than a half century ago. All that's in. He was right. He was right. And of course, now you hear the angry, stirring people to violence rhetoric. That's not coming from MAGA. That's not coming from Donald Trump. Forget about bloodbath, because everyone on the other side uses it all the time, too. But listen to them closely. They're not even talking about we've got to stop Donald Trump. Now you listen to Liz Cheney. She's supposed to be a Republican. She's saying we got to get rid of Republicans, not just Donald Trump, Republicans too, because democracy. Listen to clip 5.
The future of the democracy depends upon making sure the Republicans are not in the majority in the House and in the Senate in 2025.
Bold statements from former Congresswoman Liz Cheney, essentially saying American democracy and the Republican Party can no longer coexist. Cheney spoke of how congressional Republicans know better, but follow the former president anyway. She said the number of people who believe Trump's lies is very small. They are enabling this danger, and they know it's a danger. That is what is so scary about the times we are currently in. If Donald Trump did not have others around him enabling his autocratic ways, our system of government wouldn't be threatened. Trump could not do damage to our elections without others spreading the big lie. He could not weaponize the Department of Justice for his own benefit without those willing to do his bidding. He could not get away with hateful and anti-American rhetoric if everyone collectively called him out for it. And he could not be this close to tearing down our democracy without Republicans in Congress.
Bold statements, she says. She's really excited. MSNBC loves it when Liz Cheney comes on or says it wherever she said that we've got to get rid of Donald Trump and we've got to make sure Republicans never get a majority again. Nah, it's a small group. It's a small group of Republicans that agree with Donald Trump. Well, if that's the case, then okay, put it to the ballot. Put it to the vote. And we'll see what the American people have to say about that. These people are on the wrong side of everything. And again, none of this is to suggest that Donald Trump or his movement is going to fix everything that's wrong with America. But like my father says in Great Again, he certainly does a good job of exposing the evil, of exposing the hypocrisy, of exposing the lies, of exposing Republicans who are Republicans in name only, just like the one you saw right there, Liz Cheney. Here comes Bob Alinsky. Remember, Tucker had the big reveal back in 2020. Bob Alinsky had the three cell phones. I had the exchanges. Well, I know who the big guy is. I have this. I have that. They tried to blot that out. Tucker doesn't count. Tucker's an insurrectionist. We got to cover that up, just like we're covering up the New York Post story about Hunter's laptop. And here we are. Here we are, what? Almost 4 years later, and Bob Alinsky finally gets to testify before a House committee, and he makes the Democrats look like fools. AOC and company. He's exposing all of this evil going on inside of the family. The family from which the fake president, the occupant of the Oval Office, the White House. All of these crimes. But you can already anticipate what James Comer and the others are going to say. Johnson, all the so-called conservatives. Well, now it's March. It's March. We're coming into the summer. Hunter Biden won't come and testify. We certainly don't want to meddle in elections. I mean, you don't do that. And so we'll probably just forget about any kind of an impeachment. You think the Democrats would think that way? Here they've got all this actual evidence, all of these crimes. And like I said, it's 4 years on from this. I mean, they knew about Bob Alinsky 4 years ago. But it stretched out over time. And then before you know it, Republicans say, well, look, we want to make peace. We want to put forth some bipartisan legislation, especially on the budget. Let's see if we can spend $6 trillion together and put a lot of it to electric vehicles and all kinds of other left-wing agendas or talking points. Oh, they'll do it. They'll do it. You know what's amazing? This clip from Susan Rice. She's on with Lawrence O'Donnell. Here she's talking about Trump. Again, Trump's going broke. Okay, he doesn't have any money. But here's another concern. If he doesn't have $500 million, where is he going to go to get it? What if he goes to American adversaries? Listen to this clip. Everything she's saying here is exactly what the Biden crime family has actually done. Clip one.
When you look at Donald Trump's indebtedness and the real prospect that he may not be able to raise through normal banking channels some $500 million or more that he owes, you have to wonder where he's going to get that money from if he is able to get it. And in the event that he has to take that money from an individual or an entity, whether domestic or international, that individual or entity is potentially going to have real influence over him. And so that is of concern when, in particular, when you add it to the reality that we know that, you know, he has a long history of foreign financial entanglements, and he's accepted money from the Chinese Communist Party to his properties. He's in partnership and invested with the Saudi Sovereign Wealth Fund. There's just so many ways in which the whole stench of money from dubious places infuses his business enterprise.
Take Lawrence O'Donnell out of the picture. Assume you don't know who this woman is, Susan Rice. Obviously, she's an Obama acolyte. But if you didn't know any of that and you're hearing about this long history of foreign financial entanglements, who does that perfectly describe? Okay, yes, Trump built properties all over the world. I mean, these are tangible assets. That's his business. That's what he does. What did Joe Biden sell? You know, all the money coming in from the CCP and from Russia and from these Eastern European nations. What was he selling? He was selling influence. And Congress now has the receipts. The bank records are coming in. Hunter won't testify. He's defying a congressional subpoena. No big deal. He's not going to go to prison. They're not going to ship him to prison in Miami. Not at all. Because he can get away with it. Think about what the DOJ, what the FBI, what the CIA, think about what they're having to cover up in order for the Biden crime family to just continue on as if everything's perfect. Just like the 2020 election. It's all perfect. And here these Democrats scream. They scream for Eric Swalwell to talk about how the Trump enterprise is compromised by the Chinese CCP. How rich is that? How rich is that? The Biden crime family, they're pulling in money from all kinds of adversaries and for nothing. There's no Biden hotel that they're selling out. There's no Biden property that they're receiving, you know, rent from. It's nothing like that. Hunter was out there as the bag man. Hunter was getting them on the phone with Joe Biden when he was vice president. And the family was just raking it in. And who knows who else was on the take. A lot of them in the swamp are. This is from Fox News the other day. Hunter Biden's business partner, Eric Schwerin, told congressional investigators that he communicated with then-Vice President Joe Biden via a private email alias while maintaining that he was not aware of Joe Biden's involvement in his family's business dealings. Schwerin appeared behind closed doors for a transcribed interview, so this is not even as public as yesterday's was with Bob Alinsky. Schwerin told the committee that he performed a number of administrative and bookkeeping tasks for then Vice President Joe Biden related to his household finances between 2009 and 2017. Schwerin testified that he also helped Biden's accountants in their preparation of his taxes and annual financial disclosure statements. Fox News Digital first reported that Biden, as vice president, used email aliases and private email addresses to communicate with Hunter Biden and his business associates hundreds of times, including with Schwerin. The communication came between 2010 and 2019, all during the vice presidency years and even after, as the deep state was working to bring him back as the puppet master. Sorry, as the puppet, the master, of course, being the dear leader. It says the House Ways and Means Committee, which is co-leading the impeachment inquiry alongside the Oversight and Judiciary Committees, said 54 of those emails were exclusively between Joe Biden and Schwerin. During his transcribed interview, Schwerin was asked if an email address labeled RobinWare456 was associated with Joe Biden. And of course it was. Why the aliases? Why all the back channel communications? Why all the contact with Hunter's so-called business associates? Because it was pay to play, man. That's how they made their money. Tens of millions of dollars just spread out across the Biden empire for no product whatsoever. Just influence. Which leader is being blackmailed? Here you've got Susan Rice opining about, well, if Donald Trump can't get his money, where might he get that money? And if he got it from Saudi Arabia or China, well, think of the influence that they would have over him. Hello? Do you see what has happened from 2009 to 2017? 8 years. These people, they sold out their country, for sure. It's pretty obvious. I don't know if I played that second one from Susan Rice, but play, if we haven't played it, play clip two.
The real problem and pattern here is that we have somebody who clearly doesn't put the interests of the United States ahead of his own personal interests. That's the fundamental problem. And when that is the case, the United States is deeply vulnerable to manipulation and exploitation by our adversaries with whom he seems to be most comfortable.
Here again, what a perfect description of what is actually happening with this communist insurrection, putting their personal interests ahead of even their own country, And you've got all of these crimes and people now bringing all of the receipts and Republicans probably not having the courage to actually go in for the kill shot. They're just too afraid. This was an exchange between a commentator and Jesse Waters on Waters' show last night, clip 7.
It's one of these cases where, in the end of the day, the cover-up is worse than the crime. It's almost like the cover-up is what gets you in trouble because it's just so guilty-looking, so obvious what's going on. If they just had wired the money, they could say, well, you know, I did consulting. Now, he didn't actually do any consulting. He didn't offer any services, so to speak. So they wouldn't have an excuse there either. But the fact that they went through all this effort to conceal, it tips their hand. You know what's going on.
And even if he was consulting, as he say he was, it's illegal. You can't do international business consulting without being registered as a foreign agent. And he was a foreign agent for his father while he was vice president.
Right.
Illegal on every level. And yet no one's held to account. And so it just continues. Send out a subpoena for Hunter to come and testify. I'm not gonna honor that. Peter Navarro and Steve Bannon, I mean, they have to. If Liz Cheney says you come and testify, then you better do it. But James Comer, no, come on now. What are they hiding? Why are they trying to conceal their tracks? What was the money coming in for? What was the product they were selling? If it was consulting, as Jesse brings out there, even that's illegal because you're not registered as a foreign agent. Wow. Susan Rice, that's a perfect soundbite to describe everything that we've seen happen in the last decade or two. The Washington Examiner, it says, just to follow on some of the coverage we've given to the immigration invasion this week, says here, Mexican officials announced that the country would not accept immigrants deported by Texas under any circumstances. I wonder why. So they're pouring into Texas. The appeals court, I guess, ruled against Texas just yesterday, right after the Supreme Court said, hey, you can do what you need to do until the appeal goes through. And then Mexico comes out and says, look, if Texas gets strong and starts deporting them back to Mexico, we're not going to take them by any means. Why wouldn't you? Where's the compassion? Aren't they left-wingers down there as well? The leadership? You see how America is under attack from Mexico, from the communists inside of America, from every nation that's just sending their worst, in some cases, to the United States. Says on Tuesday, the Supreme Court cleared Texas to enforce a law that would allow it to arrest illegal immigrants on state rather than federal charges and deport them. The law calls for deported immigrants to be sent to ports of entry along the U.S.-Mexico border. So Mexico, anticipating this, says, no way, not going to do it. Look, we'll allow millions to walk through our country and to go into America, but if any of them get turned back, we're not taking them back. No. Mexico has enough sense to know that this would destroy their country. Here's another one from the New York Post. It says, Biden administration fails to file paperwork, causes 200,000 migrant deportation cases to be tossed. Serious concerns. It's just a paperwork error. We just made a few mistakes, that's all. We were going to send 200,000 back home. We were going to deport 200,000, but now that, you know, they just get lost in the system. How convenient for Joe Bama. How convenient for the dear leader. How great this is for whenever the next census is taken, when all you're doing is counting heads. Doesn't matter if they're citizens or not. Just count the heads. Count the people. Nobody's illegal. The DHS's failure to file thousands of notices to appear before scheduling hearing dates left courts without jurisdiction to handle deportation cases and rule on asylum claims. These large numbers of dismissals and what then happens raise serious concerns, said this one individual. That's about all that we can get these days, is just a strongly worded statement from someone that knows the country's being destroyed, from someone that knows the country's being attacked or besieged, as you heard yesterday from Kevin O'Leary. This is from the Washington Examiner. It says the Biden administration has released over 300,000 unaccompanied immigrant children into the United States after they crossed the border illegally. The Joe Bama people, they've just released 300,000 unaccompanied immigrant children. I just saw a clip today where they were going on and on about, can't have Trump back. He put children in cages. But I guess they're fine with 300,000 children just getting caught up into sex trafficking, because that's the reality for so many of them. These people are sick and deranged, and the kinds of perversions, it's like I said in yesterday's show, referring to this March issue, unprotected, and the story about the problems bigger than Jeffrey Epstein and the people funding these Get Trump operations, having traveled down to Epstein Island? Seriously? And you're going to go after Trump and try to fine him $500 million. For what? No one knows. Oh, he overinflated the value of his properties? And then there's Anderson Cooper showing the properties with the value that CNN puts on them. How do we know that's accurate? What a world. It's totally upside down, isn't it? It says here the figure is on par with the data on the HHS website, which indicates 392,000 children have been let go to sponsors in the United States since October 2020. Well, at least they've got sponsors. You have to love it when unaccompanied minors are being taken care of by sponsors. Right here in the United States. You peel the cover off of this and you see some real, and truly some real perversion and sickness through and through. Abomination on top of abomination. It's just like God told the prophet in Ezekiel 8. Listen, come back and actually peer through this hole in the wall. It really, really is disgusting. Sponsors looking after these little children. Where is the love in that? This is not God's world. This is the devil's world. And we're getting a pretty good look at what it's like to live in Sodom and Gomorrah just before the days that lead up to the return of Christ. Jesus said so in Luke 17. He said it would be, in the last days, it would be like the days of Noah just before the flood. He said it would be like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, as you know from the Sodom and Gomorrah story there in Genesis 19, Lot, basically the angels had to drag his family out of Sodom. And even then, Lot's wife, she turned around and looked back at Sodom longingly. She missed it. She wanted to go back. Her heart was in Sodom. And that's why Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Don't make that same mistake. Just turn and go. Go forward with Christ, as I've been saying this week to the students in a couple of my lectures. Follow Christ. I mean, we need We need the leadership of Jesus Christ now more than ever. We need the living Christ, our living Savior. We have to follow in his steps, as 1 Peter 2:21 says. We have to set aside every weight, as Hebrews 12 verses 1 and 2 say. Set aside those weights so that we can run in this race, so that we can follow Christ. There's that example in, what is it, Matthew 14, where Jesus walked on water and the disciples were in their fishing boat looking at this, thinking this has to be some kind of an evil spirit out there walking on water. And then Jesus spoke to them, and they knew it was the Son of God. They knew it was Jesus Christ. And Peter said to him, hey, if you're walking on water, let me do it. Let me come and walk on water with you as well. And Christ said, go ahead. And Peter jumped out of the boat and was walking on water until he started to look around and see, oh, the storm, the clouds, the wind, the elements. It looks dangerous. I'm going to sink. And sure enough, he started to sink. And as he did, he cried out to Jesus and said, save me. And Jesus saved him. Jesus pulled him back up. And then he said to him, why did you doubt? What happened? You were doing so well. You were doing great. When you were focused on me, when you were looking at me, you were walking on water. What a miracle. What a lesson. If you think about the Israelites of old, ancient Israel, God said, all right, I'm going to perform these unbelievable miracles in order to release you from captivity, from slavery in Egypt. And it, of course, culminated in the night of the Passover, where they had to smear the blood on the doorpost. And that death angel passed over, and then just the very next day, 24 hours later, they were leaving with a high hand. They had to act on those tremendous miracles. They had to follow that pillar cloud, a cloud in the daytime, a pillar of fire at night. And if it moved at midnight, they had to be prepared to go forward with Christ. They had to be prepared to move, to act on this precious truth, these tremendous miracles. What a lesson there is in that for us, that history, that account in Luke 14 or Matthew 14, forget where. Look to Jesus Christ. Look to the author and to the finisher of our salvation. We need leadership. We need a commander out front. We need a head. We need an advocate. We need a high priest. We need help. We've got to do our part, and I talk about that quite a lot on this program. We've got to push ourselves. We've got to get in the daily. We've got to draw near to God. We've got to make our relationship with God the most important relationship there is. But even still, we could not make it without the power, without the inspiration, without the guidance, the direction, the correction coming from our great God and His Son, Jesus Christ. We need help. We need to be rescued. We need to be saved. Not like they talk about in this world, where it's just a kind of an emotional appeal, and where you're once saved, always saved, and you never need to do anything or worry about anything. Salvation is a process, as we well know. And there is a rescuing moment that happens up front as God opens our mind to the truth and begins to fill our minds and our hearts with godly knowledge and instruction. He's showing us the way. John 6:44, he has to perform a miracle just to get us started. But it takes a miracle as well It takes a continuous miracle to finish the race. And when you see all the casualties everywhere around us in this Laodicean era, most of God's people, they've given up. They've stopped running in the race. They're spiritual casualties, at least to this point. Hopefully they can turn it around. Hopefully the tribulation will turn it around for half of them. But we need the power of God. We need to draw strength from God. We need to, as Mr. Armstrong wrote many years ago, Herbert Armstrong, we need to let God fight our battles. We need God out front, leading the charge. And then God wants to see us really getting behind it and showing some energy, as I said last week, showing some zeal, showing some courage. Courage to fight. Fight alongside God, with God. This is from, just to switch back to one last news item, it's from the New York Post. It says, a shoplifting epidemic costing retailers in New York $4.4 billion a year is creating a shadow resale economy that ranges from eBay to bodegas, the Post has learned. It's costing retailers $4.4 billion, and then these criminals are taking these products and putting them up on eBay. That's selling them at half the price. It's creating quite the black market. This is really and truly, this is third world stuff. This is third world activity going on here. This doesn't happen in even in Moscow. Or, I mean, they may have a black market of some kind in Moscow, but the rampant crime, the shoplifting, that's New York City. Shoplifting in New York City alone rose 64% from June 2019 to June 2023. 64% in a four-year period. Defund the police. Well, this is what happens when you do it. Flood the nation with immigrants, illegal immigrants. This is what happens when you do that. That's why Mexico doesn't want them back. We don't want the criminals from Venezuela to come back into Mexico City or somewhere. So they say, within 24 hours, no, we're not going to take any of them. That's your problem, Texas. You deal with it, Joe Bama. And of course, Joe Bama wants it this way. He's thinking about that census. He's thinking about obtaining total control of the U.S. government. Total control of power in America. In 2022, the total estimated loss to shops in the state was $4.4 billion, according to the governor there. And retailers and law enforcement told the Post that the need to sell the stolen goods has created a sprawling underground economy. Really sad to see this happen to the United States. Just a total breakdown in our society. A total breakdown of law and order. Herbert Armstrong used to talk about the family foundation, how that the family, really, that's the foundation of any strong and stable society. Listen to what Dr. Phil had to say. I think he was on with Jordan Peterson in a podcast. This is clip 8.
When I look at what's going on in this country, I think that the backbone of any society is the family. I think that's the strength of any society. And when I say it's under attack, I think it's under attack in part unintentionally by technology, and in part because there are people that are pushing narratives in current society that have nothing to do with reality, have nothing to do with science, have nothing to do with fact, nothing to do with history. They're just running an agenda that's very self-referential. And it is not in our best interest at all to sit silently by and allow these people to hijack what's going on, the narrative of this country.
He doesn't understand everything about the spiritual dimension here, but he knows enough to know that America is under attack. Where have you heard that before? It's being attacked in more ways than one. It's not just a communist attack, although the communists definitely have. I mean, they see the traditional family as a massive target. They want to destroy the family. They want every citizen looking to the nanny state, looking to Big Brother, looking to big government. What we're seeing all around us, in so many ways, it's the result of the breakdown of the family. My father wrote this booklet years ago. It's like 20 years old now. Character in Crisis. I can think of several others. The God Family Vision comes to mind. Mystery of the Ages. The family plan that God's working out here below. If you don't have these works, make sure that you go to our website. That's thetrumpet.com. And you can download any of these materials straight away. There's no cost, no obligation. If you'd like the print editions of these books or booklets or magazines, you can also call the 800 number there and request your free copy, or in the case of the Trumpet Magazine, a free one-year subscription to the Trumpet Magazine. Tomorrow's news today, as I told you yesterday, I mean, you've got the unprotected cover story, feature story from March, and then April's edition, which just came out a few days ago, on the invasion of the United States and how it's intentional. That's tomorrow's news today. Every single issue of The Trumpet this year has been so especially timely. Make sure, as I say, if you don't subscribe yet to The Trumpet Magazine, call our operators and make sure you get that that monthly copy or edition of The Trumpet. A couple of emails that have come in recent days or weeks in some cases. This one says, I started following the PCG ministry 8 years ago, watching The Key of David. I'm 72 and finally learning and getting answers. So I have several of your books and reprint articles and want to make a donation, but don't know how. I recently started watching The Trumpet daily. Wow, so good. God bless you all. And we're hearing stories like this all the time, it seems. People that just have recently come along to view this program or have visited The Trumpet Daily, sorry, thetrumpet.com, or have watched my father's show. If you'd like to email the show, by the way, the email address, td@thetrumpet.com. This one here says, love the show and watch it every day. I just wanted to comment on the description of God and Christ. What a powerful image of Christ, finally, and of God, showing them as emotional beings with all the emotions that we have, but absolutely in their control. It's so refreshing to hear that Christ is not portrayed as a long-haired, hippie, effeminate man with a wimpy demeanor. His fire and love for the truth should inspire us all. Indeed, it should. Another one here says, I love the new setting, especially God's house in grandiose view. It's inspiring and gives us hope and spiritual strength to dwell and focus on God's graciousness and mercies. Kudos to Sam and company. Says here, the podcast show new backdrop looks great. The wood panel backdrop looked dated. Keep up the great work. So we do appreciate your feedback. We've got quite a few that have commented on the new backdrop. Some prefer the old, but most of the feedback has been very positive. So that's good to see. Another fast-moving week of pure truth. Thank you for setting an awesome example of truth and goodness. As I say, if you'd like to email the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. You are listening to Stephen Fleury, or viewing Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.